Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia.
Too many things we found. We burned too many things we found. That's the Divine Dar Williams with the legendary Pete Seeger and David Byrne, who wrote the song, the lyrics to that Grammy-winning song, except for one, Solartopia, which I wrote. How you doing, everybody? It's Harvey Sluggo Wasserman here, back for another hour at the Green Power and Wellness Show, and we have some serious business to do. We're going to devote the whole hour to Diablo Canyon and nuclear power. We have two spectacular guests on with us, Linda Seeley from San Luis Obispo, California. Linda, are you on with us?
I am. Hi, Harvey. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Seeley, and you can call me Sluggo.
I will call you Sluggo.
And okay. Paul Gunter, how are you?
Hey, Sluggo, no nukes.
No nukes, buddy. Actually, Paul has known me as Sluggo probably before he knew me as Harvey, right? Way back at Seabrook in the 70s doing our thing, and we are still doing our thing, and we are closing in on the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. I know, Linda Seeley, you can only stay with us for a half hour, and at the half hour, Bob Petrakis will join us from Columbus, Ohio, to talk about an astonishing development in nuclear power in central Ohio. But in the meantime, let me explain real quickly, and then we'll jump into this, because this, folks, is really, really big. We do have the power at this point in time to have a major impact on one of the most dangerous nuclear power plants in all the world, the Diablo Canyon Nuclear 2 reactors at San Luis, 9 miles west of San Luis Obispo on the coast of central California. We have, all three of us have been working on this probably collectively more than 100 years, easily, actually, more than 100 years. Here's what's happened. We have talked about this on the show before, but we are getting really, really near crunch time. Now, we're in a perfect storm here. This has not happened, to my knowledge, in all of U.S. history. We have a nuclear power plant whose owner, Pacific Gas and Electric, is in bankruptcy, which is now shut for refueling. Diablo Canyon Nuclear Unit 1 went down on Sunday. We don't know how long it's going to take them, but my understanding is generally the reactor cools for a few days. Then they go in, they have to take out a third of the old fuel, and then they have to do various maintenance and stuff like that. And then they want to put in the new fuel. And our objective here in this video game is to prevent the new fuel from going in. And there are an astonishing number of reasons why this should happen. But first, I'm going to name the top seven. I like David Letterman. He's at 10. We're at 7, although I'm sure we could easily get to 10. Number one is embrittlement. We are 100% certain that Diablo Canyon Unit 1 is embrittled. And Paul, at some point, maybe you can explain embrittlement, in 2002, I believe it was, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission listed Diablo Canyon Unit 1 as one of the most embrittled reactors in the United States that has not been tested since. We want Unit 1 tested for embrittlement before the fuel is loaded in, and we believe the governor has the legal power to do this. So we are writing, calling, emailing, petitioning Gavin Newsom, the new governor of California, to make this happen. And he does have, as best we can tell, he does have the legal power to force PG&E to do these tests, even though they certainly don't want to do them. Number two is cracking. We're pretty sure, high likelihood, that Diablo Unit 1 is cracked. There are simple, cheap tests that can be done with ultrasound, and we want to find that out. Again, the governor can order this. Number three is deferred maintenance. We know that PG&E has been deferring taking care of the Unit 1 and the Unit 2. They have now, because of deferred maintenance on pipes in San Bruno, they caused a major fire that killed 8 people in San Bruno in 2010. They have been convicted of various felonies because of this. And they actually have a parole officer. I don't know how many corporations in America have a parole officer, but PG&E has one. They also set off, because of poor maintenance with their power lines, they set off at least 17 fires in Northern California, killing 80 people and destroying 1,000 homes. Number four, seismic issues. We know that we have been told by an NRC inspector, Michael Peck, that Diablo cannot withstand an earthquake. We want a public hearing on this. Number five, waste management. We know that there are serious problems with waste management at Diablo Canyon. We want a public hearing on that. Number six, the competence of PG&E. The congressperson who represents San Luis Obispo in the U.S. House of Representatives has already gone public saying that he doesn't think PG&E is competent to run those two reactors. We want a hearing on that. And finally, need for power. We don't need the power from Diablo Canyon. In fact, it's a negative on the grid in California. We want a hearing on that. Gavin Newsom can do all that, and we want it done before new fuel is loaded into Diablo Canyon Unit 1. So let's start with you, Seeley, Linda Seeley in Central California and San Luis Obispo, then Paul Gunter. But Linda, tell us what the Mothers for Peace are doing and what you think about all this.
Okay, well, thanks again, Sluggo, for having me on today. Mothers for Peace has been in touch with Gavin Newsom's office, though we haven't gotten any response from them. But we wrote them a letter on December 28th and again February 2nd to support basically what you've said, although not we weren't that complex in our desires. What we want is, while this unit is offline, we know that the reactor vessel in Unit 1 is embrittled. And what that means is if they had to go into a cold shutdown where they would have to dump a bunch of cold water in it to stop the nuclear reaction, it could and probably would shatter. If it shattered, it would cause something like what happened at Fukushima, which is about the worst thing that can happen at a nuclear power plant. So they can test for this, and what it involves is taking a thing called a coupon, which is a piece of material that's made of the same stuff as all the welds inside of that reactor vessel. And they go take it to a lab, and they do what's called destructive testing on it. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know they destroy it in the testing, and through the process of testing it, they can tell just how embrittled those welds are. And the thing about this Unit 1 reactor is that it was manufactured in, I think, 1969, shipped to Diablo in 1972, and it has too much copper in the welds. They discovered later that if you put too much copper in the welds, that the copper is the stuff that becomes embrittled. So this reactor vessel, they've known it all along, but it's the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, I guess, thinks it's okay. Because they allow it.
Well, of course, they think anything nuclear is okay.
Right, that's true. But frankly, you know, all we want to know is this reactor vessel, worthy of running anymore? And we would feel extremely relieved if they did the testing and told us that, oh, it's just fine and dandy, and we could verify those tests. It would be a great, huge relief to us. We don't think that would happen, but we want to get that testing done. And then the cracking is the same.
Well, let's talk about embrittlement first. Paul Gunter, do you want to go in and tell us a bit about embrittlement as it relates to Diablo Canyon and other nuclear plants in the United States?
Sure, Sluggo. The issue here is that when you operate a nuclear power station, you get a lot of radiation in all kinds of forms, but the one of particular concern is the neutron bombardment that comes off the core. And that type of radiation is so intense during operation that you can change the material quality of the metal, as Linda pointed out. So this would be both the welding material and the base material of the rolled steel itself that's been welded together. And as Linda pointed out, one of the qualities of the metal that changes after decades of irradiation by neutron bombardment is that it loses its ductility. The ability to transform between hot and cold conditions, and where it can expand and contract. And you and I, when we got started in this, we actually, in the 70s, we knew about embrittlement, and quite simply, we compared it to baking a wine glass and pouring cold water into it. That's the kind of shattering that Linda was referring to. If you go from full power operation, full stop core shutdown, and introduction of the emergency core cooling system, that's the kind of risk that you run of as the material quality of this reactor changes under this age-related degradation, is what they call it. But this is only one of 16 known different severe age management problems for Diablo Canyon. And it affects everything from the reactor wall right down to the electrical cabling. And, I would introduce quickly one other little item that is a big concern that should probably be added to your list. And that is the fact that on January 24th, 2019, just a few weeks ago, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, or also commonly referred to as Nuclear Regulatory Chaos, the five commissioners had a vote on more than 8 years of Fukushima lessons learned that their staff, through its Fukushima task force, had been going through. And the staff, in its technical study judgment, determined that there should be orders that particularly look at and reevaluate the seismic risk of U.S. nuclear power stations and their ability to withstand flooding. And the staff, in its technical judgment, said that there should be orders issued for a reevaluation of Diablo Canyon's ability to withstand an earthquake using modern technology and analysis. On January 24th, the U.S. Commission voted along party lines, three Republicans against one Democrat and one independent. And they voted to roll back the staff's recommendation to require this reevaluation on seismic endurance of Diablo Canyon and all the other U.S. nuclear power stations. And the reason they did this was the nuclear industry was able to successfully lobby along party lines to financially shield this nuclear power plant and all of the others from the financial cost of that reevaluation. So what you have right now is that the standard of safety oversight for Diablo Canyon's ability to withstand an earthquake is based on 1960 information that the NRC basically said they would not require this reevaluation to be updated to modern standards, but go by what they call the design basis criteria. And design
Paul, let me just, since Linda Seeley has pointed out that Diablo Canyon was manufactured in 1969, for God's sakes, we're using specs that date back 50 years.
New information that their staff provided them from the earthquake that caused three core meltdowns in Japan. And you know, I, rather than be long-winded about this, let me just say that the decision has the audacity to roll back these recommendations as a cost-saving measure. You know, the estimate that was given by the staff would, if you sort of give it an average over U.S. reactors, it was like $1.7 million per unit. And what the NRC commission decided upon was one-tenth that cost for the new rule that they revised from their staff's regulation. So,
Paul, let Linda jump in. Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, Paul.
That's amazing information. Amazing information.
I wonder how much the Fukushima catastrophe is going to cost to clean up.
Probably $350 to $500 billion.
You can't measure,
you know, wiping out whole sectors of your economy. Think about that for California.
Right.
Yes, and Fukushima just in 10 minutes cost $60 billion. If you put a $10 billion price on each of the six reactors that was immediately shut down, and of course, thank God, the people of Japan have rallied to keep most of the reactors in Japan shut since Fukushima. Linda, I know you've got to jump to a meeting, and I want to inject this information from Paul, which I have not. I knew about this decision, and there was a scathing dissent from at least one of the
two,
Jeff Barron, two of the five commissioners issued, just really ripped the other three. I mean, it's like the four justices, the liberal justices on the Supreme Court, ripping the five conservatives. But when you go into your,
that's what,
go ahead, Linda.
That's what really bothered me when I read about this is how politicized the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has become. A regulatory agency that is all about protecting the health and safety of the public has actually become a political tool. And it's not run on an ethical basis. It's not run on a scientific basis. It's run as a political machine.
It's a shield. It's a shield for the nuclear power industry. Now, Linda, we're about to go into a legal meeting, and we want to discuss one thing, Paul, we're looking for here in California, and I'm sure you'll be helpful on this, is ways in to the courts. And it has been suggested that the anti-nuclear movement do a couple things, possibly file for a temporary restraining order, which is very expensive and dicey because we don't know how the judge is going to rule, but we could also file an amicus brief. And the stuff that Paul just laid out here would really go well with a lot of the other things we're advocating. And certainly the hundreds of people in Northern California who are suing PG&E under the bankruptcy laws, perhaps some of them might be willing to accept our amicus brief, laying out what Paul has just said and all the other objections we have and our demand or request of the governor that he conduct these tests and hold these hearings. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, Sluggo, I think it reminds me of the, following Fukushima, which was a massive earthquake that caused massive flooding on a nuclear complex with three reactor core meltdowns and an area the size of Connecticut that has been rendered, too radioactive to be safely inhabitable. And when the Japanese parliament, the National Diet of Japan, reviewed that accident, their top officials and safety analysis and economic assessment for what caused the Fukushima Daiichi accident, their equivalent of our Congress determined that it was the collusion of government, regulator, and industry to put the self-interest of the nuclear industry ahead of public health and safety. And yes, there was two natural disasters, but the consequence of the reactor meltdown could have been greatly reduced and maybe even preventable had the focus and the priorities been on protecting public health and safety and not financially shielding the nuclear industry, in this case, Tokyo Electric Power Company, from the cost of upgrading. And this is exactly what's just happened. We've taken a Fukushima lesson and unlearned it here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And that is that should undermine the credibility of the not only the industry and PG&E, but the Nuclear Regulatory Commission itself, so that the actions of the state government are to protect its own people and, you know, at population levels.
Steve, do you want to comment on this? Because, Paul, let me jump in here, because what we have in California now is a unique situation. First of all, I'd love to see a translation of what the Japanese diet said about Fukushima. If you can get that, Paul, that would be fantastic, and we can use that. But Linda Seeley, you've been in San Luis Obispo all these years, and Paul certainly knows this, that the NRC has preempted all this stuff, but that we now possibly have a way in through the governor and the bankruptcy court at Diablo Canyon, and possibly with a TRO, possibly with an amicus brief, but certainly the governor in bankruptcy, and I've been told this by a number of lawyers, does seem to have the power to intervene here. And I know the mothers sent a letter to the governor. Can you tell us about that letter?
Yeah, the governor, we have, our topics that we talked to the governor about were the issues were embrittlement, component cracking, waste management, that we need to do a full evaluation of the issues because things are changing.
seismic vulnerability.
Seismic
earthquake.
Vulnerability, right. Those are all very important, all of those issues. And we have, we are surprised that we haven't heard anything back from the governor's office. We don't know why. We also sent the letter to our congressman, to our state assembly member, to the head of the California Public Utilities Commission, and the head of the Department of Natural Resources in California. And we haven't heard a peep from any of them, which is kind of unusual. So we're following up on it. We're trying to figure out what's going on. Are they not responding because they're going to do something and they kind of want to keep it under their hats? Or are they not responding because they're just too worried about the future of PG&E's business, I don't know. But I do know that we have a nuclear power plant that has unit one shut down right now, and that we need to do the testing on that reactor vessel now. And so I would encourage your listeners to call the governor's office or to write to them.
Yes.
Or to write to the governor.
It's very easy to write to the governor. It's just Governor Sacramento, and I'm digging up his zip code right now.
I believe it's 95814.
95814. So, listeners, all you got to do, get out a postcard or send a letter to the governor, and all you got to say is, test Diablo. Here it is. 95814. You can send it to Gavin State House, SACTO, 95814. And on the postcard, all he's got to say is, test Diablo, because he knows what we're talking about now. And, Seeley, I know you've got to go to a meeting in a few minutes. But
I do, yeah.
I think, Paul, I hope you agree, that we can win this. The governor of California has got to step in, and we don't want him just to test for embrittlement. We need to see if that thing is cracked. We need to see the deferred maintenance list. Paul, you've listed a bunch of other things from the NRC on Fukushima. We need to see about the earthquakes, about their competency, about the waste, and about the need for power. And if you can stick that all in a TRO or an amicus brief in your legal meeting, Linda, that would be really great.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you. Paul, nice to talk to you today. And,
hey, good to hear you,
Harvey,
too, Linda.
Keep up the good work, Harvey.
Now, also, Linda, before you go, I've had an idea. What we should do is we can all just, in our local towns, we can print up postcards. You know, Gavin, State House, SACTO, 95814. And then on the back, just say, test Diablo for the 7 items, and then have a place to sign. And people can go around and ask people to sign and get a buck for the postcard and send them in. And I know that'll have an effect.
Great idea.
All right.
Okay.
We'll talk again.
You take care. No
okay,
nukes.
Good to see you. No nukes to you. Thank you so much for being with us. Right there in the belly of the beast, Linda Seeley. See, I know that she's going to a legal meeting, a conference call now. And what we're discussing here in California, Paul, is possibly filing a TRO or an amicus brief that will raise these issues. And one of the things that's so really killer here in California, Paul, and I'm sure you know, is this question of deferred maintenance. Because explicitly, in San Bruno, and we'll be joined soon by Bob Fitrakis from Central Ohio, by the way, but in San Bruno, PG&E, as it does all over the state, all over the northern part of the state, has gas lines. And they, of course, in their infinite wisdom, cut back on maintenance. And they were doing something with the testing, or there was some kind of incident with the pipes in San Bruno. And they literally, I mean, this San Bruno is an upscale suburban American community south of San Francisco. This is not the third world here. And these pipes blew up, burned, I believe, 19 houses, killed 8 people, for God's sakes. And it was totally avoidable. I mean, completely avoidable. They were hauled into court. The company was charged criminally with murder. They were convicted on a wide range of felonies. And the company itself has been given a probation officer, a federal judge named William Alsop. And in a hearing within the last 2 weeks, he had the head of the new head. There was a president of PG&E. That person's gone. There was a new president. She's gone. Now this is a new president of PG&E. And he was in the courtroom, and the judge said, and I quote, "How many more people are you going to kill?" And this is the company that's running Diablo Canyon. So, Paul, what do you think? What do you think of PG&E's confidence here?
Well, I think they should be wearing ankle bracelets at least.
Yeah, right.
I doubt it.
The company should be under house arrest.
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, that's the concern, is the impunity to face enforcement actions. And you know, that's, again, I go back to the fact that we are on top of all the concerns you've raised. we are faced with regulatory capture of the main federal agency charged with protecting public health and safety from these aging, 1960s vintage technology that was designed and built even before they discovered most of these earthquake faults. I mean, as I recall, and I know we were working with our, the Abalone Alliance back then in the 70s, but when PG&E first proposed this Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Station, they said there wasn't an earthquake fault around for 35 miles. I always thought that was pretty kind of dubious, but the fact now is they've discovered, more than a dozen known earthquake faults, many running directly under Diablo Canyon's nuclear power station reactor blocks. An earthquake fault that runs right next to the cooling water intake system for these two reactors that could be broken and, cooling water for these reactors. This is the kind of turning away from new information that would cause some upgrades, or you would think, but instead what we're seeing is protectionism for the financial bottom line to eke out 6 more years of operation. Let's hope there's not an earthquake during that time.
Well, we gotta do this. I know there's been pushback. There was a great deal signed with PG&E, the state, Friends of the Earth, NRDC, the union, the local communities, to have a shutdown of Unit 1 in 2024 and Unit 2 in 2025. That's the 40th year of their licenses. And there's been concern, there's this new attention that we're paying to Diablo 1 might overturn that deal. But every lawyer I've talked to in California has told me that because they're now in bankruptcy, actually in Chapter 11, PG&E will not honor that deal. And we've already seen significant evidence of that, because PG&E recently signed agreements with people whose lives they destroyed in Northern California by setting those fires, torching 1,000 homes, killing 80 people, and they had deals to pay back, to pay compensation to some of these people, and these were court ordered payments. And once they went into bankruptcy, Chapter 11, PG&E stopped paying these people. So, I mean, it's outrageous. And now, the idea that they would honor the original agreement to not apply for relicensing is just, it's fantasy land. I mean, PG&E, if they can make an extra dime and get away with it, will shoot you. So we feel here, at least I do, and I'm sure most of the people I've talked to agree, that our only defense here is to actually get these tests done, to hold the hearings on the earthquake, the need for power, PG&E's competency, the waste management, and then to have the actual tests of the embrittlement, the cracking, and the deferred maintenance. I mean, if we can't get this done, we're in deep, deep trouble. And we think, Paul, I don't know, I don't recall any instances in our long history with the nuclear power industry where an owning company has been in bankruptcy and they've been shut, a reactor has been shut for refueling. I know that the owner of Whoops went into bankruptcy, but I don't remember that they had an operating reactor shut.
No, that's true. And you will recall that 4 utilities went bankrupt in the construction of Seabrook in New Hampshire. But again, that That was during the construction. And, you know, they had recovered from bankruptcy to receive the operating license.
Right. Bob Fetrakis, are you on with us? Okay, Bob's not with us yet. An amazing development from Central Ohio, and he's gonna be calling in soon. So, Paul, what do you think our chances are here to get through to the governor? And I would assume you would normally assume that if a governor came at a nuclear utility demanding the kind of tests that we're asking, the utility would fire back and say, "Well, that's the NRC's domain." I'm telling you from California, I think if the governor of California, who's quite popular right now, Gavin Newsom, you know, the new guy, if he asked PG&E, even just politely in a phone conversation, to do these tests and they turned him down, I don't think that would fly in this state. I mean, that would be a biggie right now, and especially since 10,000 people, mostly Californians, were arrested there. And you know, we're all now in our dotage, but most of us are pretty proud of what we did there.
Well, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think that a piece of the formula has to be that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is abdicating its responsibility. And, you know, you've not seen a lot of stories on this just yet, particularly that on a political vote on party line, that three of the five commissioners undercut their own staff and slashed the cost of safety upgrades learned from the Fukushima accident. And again, most of the cost was for seismic and flooding upgrade. So, you know, I think that the governor needs to be shown that the safety net is gone from the federal level, and that that, you know, the corporate interest and financial margin has been pitted against the safety margins of a bankrupt nuclear power plant, and that should be of concern.
Yeah, it should be. You know what I'd like to get is a copy of Jeff Commissioner Barron's and the other commissioner's dissent on this case. Those must be pretty powerful documents. And I'd also wonder if we can get in English the proceedings.
Japanese,
of the
yeah,
diet.
We can send you that. Yeah. Yeah, the Japanese diets report and the two NRC decisions dissenting votes all came with notation votes.
I'm sorry for the jet noise in the background here. I am in Los Angeles, where this is part of the environment here. But Paul, I'm going to ask you for those documents. And I think we should all in the anti-nuclear movement jump in on the drafting of this amicus brief. I believe we will be able to file an amicus brief in the bankruptcy court here in California, and it should be a real stand-up document. We do have Judge William Alsop, the probation officer of PG&E, who has also spent 3 hours ripping apart the company in the presence of the new president. So we do have fertile ground here. And whatever documentation you want to pull together beyond nuclear, Paul is at beyondnuclear.org. And get Kevin and Cynthia and everybody else on this. This should be a monumental document. And we also need to find out the time frame. PG&E shut Diablo Unit 1 on Sunday. Today is Thursday. We don't know how long we have to stop them before they stick the new fuel in. Now, the new fuel at Diablo is a $40 million or thereabouts asset. They could sell it to another nuclear user. If they put it in to the core, it becomes a huge liability. It becomes radioactive waste. So we want to stop them from sticking that fuel in the reactor. And so we're talking about a matter of days here, and let's see what we can do. We've been hesitant to file a TRO because it requires a lot of legal firepower, and if we lose, you know, that's not good. You can't lose on an amicus brief, and you can't lose on trying to go to the governor. Bob Patrakis, you have joined us from Central Ohio. It's always great to have you on the show. And we do have a bit of comic relief here. Do you want to tell us who J. Kenneth Blackwell is and what he just said?
Well, J. Kenneth Blackwell, a former right-wing Republican candidate for governor, but many people know him better as the man who stole Ohio and the presidency for George W. Bush in 2004, the notorious Secretary of State that purged over 300,000 voters, shut down the polling places, reshuffled them, and then failed to say where the new polling places were on his website. Co-chair of the Bush-Cheney reelection campaign committee, far right-wing candidate for governor, one of the only black Republicans I know of that, you know, met with alt-right fascist militias. And now, of course, one of the leading environmentalists in the state.
Okay.
Good friend of Harvey Wasserman. Him and Harvey are clearly tight.
Yeah, we're buddies. We got arrested at the various nuclear plants. So Paul, you probably remember Ken Blackwell. You've been following the election theft stuff, I know. So you'll be stunned to hear this. Bob Patrakis, my co-conspirator for 30 years and political science professor at Columbus State Community College, author and co-author of many, 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 many books. Will you now describe to us the op-ed that the Columbus Dispatch has published with Ken Blackwell's picture? I think it was published on Sunday. Can you tell us what he wrote?
Well, Ken Blackwell, I mean, I was reading it, and I wondered why Harvey Wasserman was ghostwriting for Ken Blackwell, but he denounced crony capitalism, said came down hard, no bailouts for the nuke industry, they're not worth it, they're not competitive, there's better sources, cleaner sources of energy, and you know, it stood up for the ratepayers, stood up for the environment, and denounced corrupt crony capitalism.
So, Paul Gunter, I'm sure that you're getting the smelling salts, but Kenneth Blackwell has opposed the bailout of the Perry and Davis Bessie nuclear plants, basically saying that if they can't make it in the marketplace, they shouldn't be subsidized. Is that about right, Bob?
Yeah, that they don't need the subsidies, that not worth it, they're non-viable, and they should suffer their fate in the marketplace, and we should move on to better energy sources.
Now, in all fairness, we have to point out that Ken does spend a good part of his editorial talking about how wonderful gas is, and he's a big supporter, I'm sure, of fracking and of the natural gas industry. But his point here is that why should we subsidize two atomic power plants when, in his words, gas is so much cheaper? But I'm sure that to read this, it's going to have an impact on the state legislature in Ohio, where we have been successful for many years, actually, in preventing the bailout of the Perry and Davis Bessie nuclear plants. Is that right, Bob?
Absolutely. As you recall, because you're one of the key foes of it, right? We had to pay for those stranded costs, you know, here in Ohio. And again, every time they should have went out of business, they were subsidized by the Ohio State House to keep them alive, no matter what shape they were in, you know, sitting on earthquake faults and with holes in their heads and in their domes and failing containment standards. None of it mattered. You know, there was this dedication, particularly among the Republican establishment. So for J. Kenneth Blackwell, former Republican gubernatorial candidate, to come out against the nukes, it's quite literally one of those earthquakes we worried about.
Yeah, it's astounding. It's astounding. And Paul, you put in a lot of work on Perry and David Spessy and First Energy, which I believe is really at the tipping point now. Can you tell us where they stand with the four reactors that they own?
You mean the Davis Besse plant and the two at Perry?
The First Energy owns Perry and Davis Besse, and they also own the two at Beaver Valley, right?
Beaver Valley, right. Well, again, the plants are not economically viable. That's just the bare fact that in particular we don't need to be bailing out failing economic technologies that only raise more danger, more waste, and don't really, you know, face up to their responsibilities for enforceable safety standards. And that's just plain risk. That's all it is. But rather than subsidizing these failures, you know, Ohio, Michigan, and all along the Great Lakes could be producing offshore wind power that is proving reliable, economical, marketable, and incredibly safe. So that's, in fact, the 21st century energy policy. That's essentially what is in the emerging Green New Deal. This is what policy needs to look like now.
Absolutely, and one of the things we have going for us at Diablo is that when PG&E signed on to the deal to not apply for their license in 2024 and 2025. And to subsidize the workers and the town and do all these things, they agreed that all the power from Diablo Canyon could come from renewables. That was part of the sign-off here. And that's something that we need to use and to make clear to the governor and to the rest of the state that there's certainly no doubt that in California, 100% of the 2,200 megawatts coming from Diablo Canyon could actually come from wind and solar, tidal, geothermal, ocean thermal.
And add efficiency and conservation to that. And, you know,
yes.
Sluggo, I think that what we've got now is we finally got an affinity group in Congress. And they look to be apparently all dressed in white. But, you know, the Green New Deal, I think, is focusing on establishing policy that is dedicated towards renewable energy, energy efficiency, and conservation.
Yes, and of course, as Stephen Colbert pointed out last night, all of the Congress was white because the women on the Democratic side were all dressed in white, and the men on the Republican side were all white. So there you go. The Green New Deal, which has been, the preliminary filing is yesterday or today, my understanding is that there is no nuclear in it, which was potentially a big fight. Have you followed that at all, Paul or Bob?
There were headlines today from Bloomberg News that there's no new nuclear power construction in the works. Now, you know, that may be what's there now, and that may be the intent of the drafters of the Green New Deal. But this is going to be a dogfight when he goes to Congress, and to keep nuclear out of it is going to be it's going to be a fight. And I already Michael Schellenberger, who's the barefoot environmentalist who's really astroturfing for the nuclear power industry, he's already been on and criticizing the Green New Deal for not supporting nuclear power. So that gives me more feeling that, in fact, that's what's there now, and the fight is on to keep it out.
Yeah. Now, Bob Petraeus in Ohio, we could easily cover all the power from Davis, Bessey, and Perry with wind power in northern Ohio. And it's, of course, it's being blocked by the legislature. You've been following that a bit, I think.
Well, yeah, and a lot of that turned around. I mean, there was estimated $10 billion worth of wind projects to John Kasich, became governor and pulled any subsidies and made a deliberate retreat on wind power. But, I mean, the wind power, clearly in this state, you've lived here, Harvey, and particularly that wind, the five-star wind coming off Lake Erie, and anyone who's lived through, these snowstorms, the lake effect storms, know what kind of wind we can generate here. Absolutely no need for, for not using alternative power. And again, I think partly, well, you're right with Blackwell being enamored with natural gas, is that these old technologies, particularly nuclear power, I mean, Blackwell spells it out. They're looking for $300 million. And he points out they gave $172,000 to House members and nearly $600,000 to the Governor's Association. So Blackwell is right on in saying, look, they're trying to buy, essentially a way to pass all of this on to the rate payers when we have alternative energy, as you've spelled out many times.
Right. Now, the danger we face here in California in the bankruptcy is that PG&E will want to turn around and sell these two reactors to a bottom-feeding nuke company. Paul Gunter from Beyond Nuclear. Bob Petraeus, I should point out, we're near the end here. You are the publisher of freepress.org. We can reach you there. It's a great publication, and the Columbus Free Press, thanks for keeping it alive. Paul Gunter, you're at beyondnuclear.org, one of the great anti-nuclear groups in Washington. Who can you envision bottom feeders coming in and buying up Diablo Canyon?
No. Not now.
Good. Glad to hear it.
No, I don't see it happening, Harvey. The costs are prohibitive. They've become prohibitive, and the competition is getting more economical, particularly the renewables.
Well, that's great, and it's, particularly in California. I mean, there are 65,000 people in California working in the solar industry alone. That doesn't include wind. And why we don't have a union of solar workers in California is beyond me. The IBEW, which goes, yells and screams about their 1,100 workers at Diablo, they should be out organizing the 65,000 workers in the solar industry. And there's another 10 or 15,000 in the wind business just in California. So, that's the future here. We are hoping that Gavin Newsom is going to respond, that he'll force these tests at Diablo, that we have these hearings. And Paul, what kind of impact do you think it would have on the nuclear industry?
I think it, I think it will greatly influence the decommissioning industry. I think that, I think that what the competition that you're going to see for Diablo Canyon is going to be who can come in and win the contract to tear it down and manage the nuclear waste.
Well, I'm for all that, and that's what we need hearings on. But we got to win this now. Folks listening in, send a postcard, call Gavin Newsom in Sacramento. Just Gavin Newsom, Governor, Sacramento, and say, test Diablo. That's all you got to say. Write them up, say test Diablo, and let's get this done. Let's get the Diablo Canyon tested, and I'm going to guarantee that if it's tested, it'll never reopen. We want to test for embrittlement, cracking, the deferred maintenance list. And now, of course, Paul, as you point out, Paul Gunter, all the stuff that the NRC does not want to follow up on Fukushima. Absolutely outrageous. So let's keep on this. Paul, how do you rate our chances here?
You know, I don't. I'm not a gambling man, Harvey. We just need to get out there and do it.
Okay, and Bob, I know that you and Ken.
Well, keep in mind, Harvey, that First Energy's in bankruptcy too, and their plan is to get the subsidy.
All right, well, and watch for when they refuel. Thank you, guys. Let's shut the Apple Canyon. Thank you, crew in New York. We'll see you next week at the Green Power and Wellness Show.